Oh, Carson Wentz, you magnificent bastard. I'm going to put you in my starting lineup.
And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. And I'm here with my partners. Jeremy Broen's back.
Who?
Hey, guys, you're back. Back from Vegas. It's good to see you. I miss you guys. At... glad you had a good time.
Thanks.
I got a vacation out of it myself.
At DFF underscore Madman and Shane Manila.
Hi, I'm Shane Manila. Just wanted to let everyone know that CJ Procise is actually not dead.
At DFF underscore Shane. Yes, and like we said, we're back from Vegas. We had a pretty good time. Yeah, Jeremy, we missed you out there. We I don't even know. What did we put out? Like three different episodes from Vegas, I think.
34.
And we do still have one more interview left to play from Vegas, which we'll add sometime during the show today with Jacinia, the new spokesperson for the website. Also, you will hear when you start listening to this show and some of the other shows on the network that she'll be doing all the commercials and all the ads. We will no longer be doing those, and Shane is very happy.
Yeah, I like that because I'm not good at reading. So
it was still fun, though, you know. And you know what? Actually, speaking of that, before we get started, we'll go right into one of our sponsors. You know, SquadQL is a big sponsor for us. So here's SquadQL.
Want an unfair advantage to dominate your fantasy football league? Look no further and download SquadQL, the only mobile app you need to crush your friends and rivals. SquadQL recommends the best starting lineup for each week based on your starters, bench players, and free agent pool. SquadQL provides waiver and trade recommendations too. Go to SquadQL.com to download SquadQL for free. SquadQL is brought to you by the creators of RotoQL, the leading daily fantasy optimizers trusted by 100,000 DFS players.
So was that about an hour and a half that week?
It seems like it, but that's SquadQL, which they're a big sponsor for all the shows here on the network. So it's great to hear Jacinia talking about SquadQL. So back to our show, and what's the big news that you wanted to talk about, Shane?
The biggest news, I think everybody's talking about this wide receiver. J-Matt actually visited the Eagles today, and if he passes a physical, he's going to be re-signing with them, Jeremy.
Yeah, man, that's good news, right? We're high on that guy, and it looked like we just lost him. You know, he wasn't going to do anything ever again, and I wondered if he'd resurface, and that's about the best place he could go. Back to a team he played for and had some success, you know. How do you feel as an Eagles fan?
He had lots of success. Well, I feel really good because they have three active wide receivers on the roster. So it was going to be Nelson Aguilar, Shelton Gibson, and Kamir Aiken out there on Sunday. And that's rough. Like if any of those guys get hurt, I don't know what you do. You split Goddard out wide, I guess.
It's funny for me. I'm happy because of all my memorabilia that all the shit I have from the Eagles stuff. Plus in the listener league, I drafted him in the listener league, you know, so that'd be good if he can start playing. I see Jeremy shaking his head.
Everyone got drafted in the listener league. It's 16 teams.
There are no living NFL players currently available on waivers.
That is a crazy league.
some that are not living that are on our rosters.
Yeah, we've been having a lot of fun and a lot of fun with the listeners in that group chat too about that league. Everybody seems to like stay away from me and Jeremy, but they slam you, Shane, all the time.
Oh no, they love coming after me, even when. I have, you know, mind you, I didn't have Carson Wentz for the first 2 weeks. Ronald Jones hasn't started a game or been active, let alone started. And somehow I'm 1-1 with Pat Mahomes throwing for 175 touchdowns so far through 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that's your guy.
I get Wentz back. So sayonara to the listener league. You bastards are done. Man.
It's not Nick Foles, but at least you have the backup quarterback there, which is super cool.
Exactly.
So the fact that you guys mentioned J-Matt, I actually thought you were going to talk about Josh Gordon when I said that.
Who? He's been in the news?
Yeah, Josh Gordon. You know, he hurts himself during a photo shoot and then shows up to the doctors and they're like, he doesn't seem too right. And then they're like, out the door. And then, of course, what team's going to pick him up or trade for him, actually.
Yeah, of course the Patriots. Of course the Patriots.
And they cut Corey Coleman.
I wonder, I haven't looked at the roster, you guys, but seriously, if New England Patriots, every wide receiver, every running back, do they in fact roster any other position besides running backs and wide receivers? I mean, nobody else has that many, right?
Well, in the last week, they signed Hanson, they signed what's his name, Darbo, and they signed Corey Coleman, and now they've cut all three of them.
Well, the other two were early in the, I think right before
it was
the,
right before kickoff.
Yeah, and then Coleman, they let go of, R.I.P. Corey Coleman. So I finally have given up on Corey Coleman. It clearly is not going to happen at this point when they'd rather have, you know, Josh Gordon on the roster, who was supremely talented, but has been suspended more games than he's actually played football. So.
Yeah, and the trade is like the picks that they gave up for him, if Josh Gordon doesn't play, 10 games for them, they get the picks back?
They give up a fifth and get a seventh back if he doesn't play 10 games. So there's really no risk whatsoever.
So what do you think about it? I've seen so much different stuff on Twitter and all the polls. Do you trade for him? Do you keep him? Do you want him? I think he's just a screw up, and I think he's always going to be a screw up. But what do you think?
He's a screw up in the first order. But that said, I was thinking about this. If I were a contender and a legit contender, 2-0, my team's rocking everyone, and it's not like a bunch of fluke scoring, I'd give up what I would perceive to be a late 2019 first for him.
Yeah, no, I've been burned by Josh Gordon in situations like that. I traded out of Martavis Bryant. I traded out of Josh Gordon. And hey, listen, I like both guys in fantasy football. I like both guys in real football, but I've been burned by them. That sunk cost, chasing after, keeping them on my, injured reserve, keeping them on my bench when they can't play. I'm not doing that kind of risk anymore. Love Josh Gordon, but he had that one great season. Another good one years ago. What was it, 2013 now? Geez, it was a long time ago. It was 4 or 5 years ago. But my thing with him is he's a repeat offender in not following rules. And I don't care what team he plays for. I think his value is about the same as it was on a previous show when you guys, we talked about him at length and how we didn't want to invest much in him. Going to the Patriots doesn't really change that for me, because even if he does well, it's going to be short-lived. Unless you're a crazy person, you have to think it's going to be short-lived. So if you're a win-now team, trade something for him. But listen, I had guys asking me for second-round picks in 2019, and most of the leagues we're talking about, that's not going to be a high pick. I still didn't do it because I've been burned by him so many times. I might part with a second if I needed a wide receiver on a team where I was definitely, I had a shot. If I'm building, a little bit toward the future, I don't see how you take that risk if you're not trying to do something right now. Why give up those assets, especially not a first? I'm definitely not parting with a first round pick for that guy in any league.
See, I would, and I just for the 50% chance that maybe they give him a probation officer or a glorified probation officer.
I think he's had quite a few.
But maybe they just attach someone to his back and they're just like, dude, you're not going out tonight. No, you have to be at the stadium tomorrow at 6 a.m. for meetings. You're not allowed outside. I'm sorry.
Like an incredible season you could expect to maybe get out of him. Maybe an incredible season if he's one of the starting, two or three wide receivers there, which he might have a shot in New England to do right off the bat, learn that offense. And what's the best case scenario? What do you guys think if everything works out like you're kind of alluding to, Shane, what's the best case scenario for Gordon this year or, going forward? I don't know.
Wide receiver one numbers the rest of the year. I mean, maybe not this week because I would assume his hamstring, although it's magically healed the day after he was traded. I would assume if that was legit, that it's probably still a little cranky.
There is one other thing, though. Everybody, they always say it, that the Patriots offense, their playbook is very difficult and very hard to learn. And and Jeremy just pointed at me. I mean, if this guy is such a knucklehead and an idiot about life decisions, is he going to be smart enough to be able to learn that playbook and do it?
It's a playbook, dude. It's not rocket science.
Well, they make it seem like it is.
First of all, it's not like he's got to learn a ton of blocking schemes. He's a wide receiver. Like, come on.
And honestly, with his athletic prowess, he's a guy that, I mean, there are wide receivers that you can send out on, you know, fly routes, on post routes, just run, you know, be a decoy, run down the field. Some of those guys are good at just running and getting open and doing that. Gordon can do that plus jump balls, out finesse and out muscle defensive back. So he doesn't even need a lot of routes, different routes, to contribute to an offense and become that wide receiver one. Wide receiver one in the NFL, though, in fantasy, I don't know. A top 12 guy, he might become the wide receiver one in New England, but is that, I don't know if that's even possible. He'd have to be the wide receiver one or two in New England to even be a top 12 wide receiver, no? So I just don't see it.
I think he could. I mean, he's as physically talented as any wide receiver that's ever probably played, and he's just that good of a wide receiver as any that have ever actually played. That's never been, you know, the issue with him. It's just staying on the field, which is a very big issue for him since he can't do it. But for a late first, early second, or late second, I'll push the button. You know, it's a 50-50 shot. It's probably less than that if we're being honest.
Yeah.
It's probably like a 35-65 shot that he stays clean and he stays on the field. Beyond this year, I don't even know. I'd put it probably at 15%. That guy scares the hell out of me when he's, you know, when he doesn't have the structure of the NFL around. So,
well, let me ask you something, Jeremy, especially for you being a Browns fan and all that kind of stuff. The moment I heard that he was leaving the team, I went to a lot of my waiver wires and I picked up Higgins. What do you think about Higgins over there? Like, what are they going to do there at all with their wide receivers?
Callaway. Callaway had a big game and he ran. I think he played something like 80% of the snaps last week.
Well,
Callaway is going to be the wide receiver, you know, two to Jarvis Landry's wide receiver one. So the starting two or the top two guys, Landry and Callaway. Obviously, Callaway is a rookie, so it's going to be hit or miss this year. But I think he's got the potential to be that number one outside guy, like Josh Gordon has been. But Landry's getting all the love, all the PPR, right? He leads that wide receiving core. Njoku, I'm looking at, you know, he hasn't done well so far this year, you know, as far as fantasy points, but he had 7 targets in each of those first two games, which is pretty good for, you know, for a tight end. So he's, you know, I look to him to develop, but yeah, Callaway, Higgins is like a third guy, right? Wide receiver three, a possession receiver, and he's only shown some flashes. I don't think much of him.
The problem, right, the so, reason so I ask him,
I'm going to cut you off.
Of course you
that's
are.
What I do,
and then I will say
I missed this,
and I will say weeks. My reason after you go. Go ahead, Shane.
Sweet, because I was waiting for this. So I actually touted Higgins as a pickup.
Uh huh.
So and in I games that he's been targeted more than 4 times, he averages 8.09 fantasy points a game. Which again, yeah, that's not obviously wide receiver 1, 2, 3. I don't even know if that's wide receiver 4 value, but you know, in deep leagues like we play, most of the leagues we play, and you start at least 11 guys, that's someone that I'd be okay with throwing in as my last flex option.
Well, I picked
him. I don't feel comfortable with that, you guys, but I would have him on my roster. Sorry, Sipes.
No worries. Yeah, I picked him up in a lot of leagues just because it was a last minute thing. Something happened. Callaway was obviously on every roster that I was in the leagues, but I mean, if you look at the targets and everything that happened, he got 7 targets just like Jarvis Landry. The two of them got 7 targets each, and Higgins had 5 catches for 47 yards. So, I mean, to me, that was okay, especially for picking him up off of waivers and everything.
Yeah, you know, it's funny about that 7 targets. So I did go to look up his splits, you know, what he scored in games that he was targeted more 7 or more times, and I think it's only happened twice.
Yeah, well, but and that's why I asked Jeremy specifically what he thought. You know, it was a knee-jerk reaction to something that was happening, and I just tried to grab something when I could, especially in something like the listener league.
Callaway's not out there, and
no
Callaway's a big bag of idiocy too, so there's a pretty good chance that he's going to get high, steal something, or be arrested for something.
We don't know that. We don't know that. James,
I'm just saying, yes, yes. Pass past performance as an indicator of future actions or something like that. But the dude has had issues. I mean, Callaway was accused of sexual assault in college.
Oh, my God.
He was arrested and I believe convicted because he was suspended for a full season for credit card fraud.
Credit cards.
Well, then you make me feel better about picking up Higgins now.
No. I'm just saying, Callaway's very talented. It's just he's another guy that he could screw up at any time. It's like they got rid of Josh Gordon just so they could promote Josh Gordon Jr.
Yeah. Well, there's one other question, Jeremy. You like you mentioned before, you've had a little bit of a vacation. And one of the things that really happened a lot in Vegas, everybody talked about Le'Veon Bell. And nobody's got to hear what Jeremy thinks about Le'Veon Bell and James Conner. So what are you doing over there?
I'm not doing much. I mean, James Conner is the starting running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have an awesome, phenomenal offensive line for running backs. They get him out in the flat. They throw passes to him, screens. I mean, he's got the PPR. He's got the rushing. Starting running back in Pittsburgh is valuable. But hey, listen, if I own James Conner, more than likely I'm going to sell that guy. I'm gonna trade out of him. I'm gonna sell him to some. Well, I mean, it'd have to be a return, right? If it's not valuable enough of a get, I'm just gonna keep Connor. But definitely not looking to kind of stick with that guy. And I like the guy. I like everything, his whole story. But I'm gonna sell him as high as I can. And God, man, you can optimize that sale too, because this is the highest value he's ever been. Maybe it gets higher, but. Bell, I don't know what that dude's story is, Shane.
I don't know, but I have a trade alert.
What?
Yeah, it's been a while. So once in a while, what I'll do, Jeremy, because it's been a while, is I'll just randomly interject trade alert. And since we're talking about Le'Veon Bell, right. I figured, fuck it, now's a good time. So there was a trade in the league I am in. Le'Veon Bell, Jalen Samuels, and Douglas Baldwin for Derrick Henry, who sucks, Lamar Miller, Adam Thielen, and a 2019 second.
Yeah, I mean, you got rid of Henry, and you got something in return that you like. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I'm going to continue throughout the rest of the season. The longer he's out, I'll keep sending offers out to this for Le'Veon Bell. I'm almost to the point where I hope he takes off all 10 games and then is inactive the rest of the season after that, just so he can refresh from Pittsburgh trying to run him into a bloody stub.
It really does seem like they gave him a raw deal, too. I mean, I don't buy into some of the stories that float around, like the narratives that get spun out there about Colin Kaepernick and every player, all these different things that are kind of become a life of their own. But with Bell, it does seem like he kind of got railroaded by the Steelers. We'll throw money at you, franchise you twice. We're just not going to give you what you think you're worth, what these other guys are worth. So I don't blame the guy for doing that. Sucks for fantasy, as you know, but James Conner, as good as he's been, as good as he is in that offense, he's not Le'Veon Bell. And I'm with Shane. I'd be trying to get Bell, as low as you can get him. He's going to play again.
And what about?
That's a guy I'd go after, even though he likes to smoke the weed too and get in trouble.
What about Conner, though? Are you going to try to sell high on Conner and get rid of him?
Yeah, I still am. That offensive line is great at generating points for the running back position. So I'm going to try to get the greatest return I can out of James Conner, and leading the league right now and, at the top of the running back heap in so many ways. Now's the time to optimize that, maximize that value. He's going to win some people some leagues probably this year. I get that, but I'm going to trade him out.
So because Michael Sipes doesn't care about the care that I put into the show sheet, I came up with a whole new segment that James Conner was a part of, but we'll go ahead and just delete James Conner off of that segment now.
But you don't have to delete it. It just naturally flowed with the conversation we're having. So if you would like to bring up what you wrote, please do.
Well, now it's all forced and shit. Whatever.
No, you know what? You could bring that up now as the new segment and just hit one of the guys, and then we'll come back to one or two of them later to kind of, Like another stick or another flip.
Yeah, it's a little.
No, people don't know it. I got to announce it.
Exactly.
You guys are the worst.
I'm not gonna cut anything out. This is great. So
I think it's a good time to just let people know that we are not going to be.
A suggestion.
We're not going to be kidding. Recapping weekly games.
No, definitely.
We're not going to. Yeah, we're not going to be doing a lot of breaking news.
No, you know, definitely not.
We'll do our normal style of things that are important we'll bring up, and then we'll meander over them and then wander back home later. But we're not going to be breaking down games unless something major happened in that game that we need to talk about.
You know what, though? Shane, that opens up for you to talk about our Patreon account, because there are some things that you did and Jeremy did on the Patreon account this week.
Oh, well, first of all, I want to give a shout out to our newest patron, Justin Rogers.
Yes.
Patron.
Yes.
Yeah, I believe he became one today, which is September the 18th, which is actually 2 months from my birthday.
Ooh, sweet. Yeah. Happy birthday. Yeah.
So, as everyone
for throwing
knows,
that in. That's important.
Yeah, everyone knows we have the exclusive podcast for our patrons. We always throw on the Not Safe for Work version. Which should also, I guess I have to explicitly state that it's also not safe for you to listen to with your children around. I thought
wear headphones, basically.
I think the Not Safe for Work is generally for everything that they don't want you to hear.
I thought so too, but definitely, you know, we got some comments about how people's children heard me drop the F-bomb somewhere in the neighborhood of 86 times.
Oh, speaking of that, Jeremy, I don't know if you saw it, but I tweeted out the piece of paper of how many F-bombs I had to delete.
Yeah, I did see that. I did see that one. That's insane. They were all him too, weren't they?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So also, we also throw out the, you know, we'll throw out exclusive bonus episodes for our patrons. We'll give you some one-on-one, or if you're into the menage, maybe a two-on-one or a triage, a three-on-one.
No, I don't think it's a triage.
That's extra. That costs extra.
You know, we give you some advice before.
We'll go ahead and read. We'll read questions on air about fantasy football, not like life questions and stuff. There's also t-shirts and hats and mugs and all types of good stuff. So become a Patreon or a patron, whichever one's right.
Yeah.
Patron. And I'm going to add that as another tier. Shane as your personal life coach. I think people would pay for that.
Yeah,
oh,
and you know,
also, I forgot. Duh. We're always throwing up waiver ads.
That's where I was going with it. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, just last night I actually listed out three of the guys that I've been targeting all day. Unsuccessfully, I should state. I've been trying to buy some Quincy and Nenwa. Aaron Jones, Ronald Jones, Tyler Boyd. I forget who else. There was a few guys. And then Jeremy actually threw something up on there last week. So, yeah, there's exclusive content for our patrons because we like them better than the rest.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to throw it out there. But you were right about what we are and aren't going to do with this show. We, at this point right now, we're going to record, you know, after the games happen. And we're going to talk about the player values and trades and some of the polls that we get and everything. But, you know, there's plenty of shows out there that are going to recap all the games and everything. And that won't be us.
No, it won't be. Honestly, if I like, you know, I like listening to recaps, but by the time this airs, I feel like recaps will just be done, and that's just not what we do.
We're not going to regurgitate that stuff.
However,
coherent enough to pull that off.
However, speaking of that, there was an injury that happened this week. Joe Mixon, he played the game, he went out, he came back in, he went out again, he played, he went out again. So he went out three times, and now they're saying he's probably not going to play this week. So
he's definitely out. He had surgery. He's going to be out 2 to 4 weeks.
Okay, so what are you doing there?
He had a loose particle. I don't know what the that means, but he had a loose particle.
You've got a loose particle.
Yeah.
I do have a loose particle.
Jeremy, you beat me to it. I was waiting for him to finish his sentence. But okay, so what are you doing there?
Nothing. If you own Gio Bernard, you're starting him. If you have owned Mark Walton, you're hoping that the guy can actually get on the field and be activated and just know that you didn't waste a pick on him.
Yeah, Jeremy, didn't you and I do a trade with Mark Walton? It feels like we did.
You know, I don't remember. We have done quite a few. I've done some good ones and some bad ones, some based on need. I'm not happy with all of them. Not.
Someday we'll do a show just based on all the crappy trades, because I know I did a crappy one in the listener league with Shane. All right. And then obviously the biggest news on our news sheet, even though we said we're not going to do news, but the fact that they announced this week that Carson Wentz is going to play. So Shane...
Wait, what's going on, Nick?
Shane just jumped. His arms went up in the air and everything.
Just don't understand. What are they doing with their starting quarterback, Nick Foles, and someone else is playing? Is he hurt?
He pulled his groin.
Damn it.
or I heard his wife did, because he's got a big groin.
Oh my God.
So Carson Wentz is going to be back. He went immediately from inactive to the starter. So he's cleared. That's going to help a lot, especially with Mike Wallace with a broken leg. So he's probably not going to play. I'm going to go out on a limb. Jay Ajayi isn't going to play Sunday. It looks like he's got some back issues.
Hopefully J-Matt signs. You've got a lot of people out.
Re-sign J-Matt. They had to go to Wawa, pick him up, drive him to the stadium and work him out. And yeah, I think he bribed them with hoagies.
We just got Wawa here in South Florida. We never had Wawa before. Yeah, we just got it.
It's not the same because in Florida, the air is different, so the bread's different, which makes the hoagie different. Also, Wawa hoagies, not that good anymore. They used to be really good, but they get no respect. But you know what's even bigger than the Wentz coming back?
What?
For dynasty purposes.
Freeman?
Devonta Freeman, because now nobody knows when he's coming back is the latest scuttlebutt out of the Falcons. They're not actually sure when he's coming back, but he's out at least 2 to 4 weeks.
Edo.
Yeah, I feel better about my FFPC league where Edo Smith is like my number one or two running back. Remember, I complained about that a while back.
I remember.
Of course, I have to remember to set my lineups because I only did it week one, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, and it was too late. I didn't even set my – I just carried over my week one lineup. Don't tell anybody. That's
ridiculous. How'd that do? How'd you do? Did you win?
I lost the second week. I won the first week when I set my lineup. The second week, that same lineup didn't really do well.
It's really funny because we're in the second week of the NFL and we're already seeing these running backs, the second, the third, you know, it's like they're already starting for these teams.
All these rookies are like crushing the fantasy points and it's wild.
We talked about it in the offseason.
Not the ones that we expected though.
No,
so
but
you got, all right, you know what? We're going to debut a new segment tonight. Guess
what,
guys?
Go for it now.
You know what it's called?
What?
It's called Stick or Flip.
What
is that? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, like,
is this guy going to stick to your roster, or are you going to flip him for more?
I like it. We got to get like a catchy song for it too.
It's kind of sexual, so it's making me feel uncomfortable, but I like it. I like the way.
So I think we've determined that JB's all about selling high on James Conner.
Yes.
What about you, Sipesy?
Yeah, no, it's funny. For me, I would keep James Conner right now. You know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago about if you're getting the points and you're getting a player that's doing something right now, sure, you could trade him and flip him for something. You know, all these people that are getting picks for him and everything, great, but those picks are not going to get you any points. I don't see him going anywhere. I don't see Le'Veon Bell showing up, and I would keep James Conner. I wouldn't flip him.
Well, real quick, you know, with picks, you actually pick players.
But you pick players next year. I mean, if you're going to do it, listen, if you're going to flip it for picks, then you need to flip those picks for something to play right now. Because
I wouldn't.
It's only week two.
Picks.
Whoa, I don't think I'd flip him for picks. I think I'd flip him for something that I feel like is better.
Sure.
Longer term. I mean, if you're a win now team, you couldn't argue with somebody keeping Connor or trading for Connor. He's a starting running back in Pittsburgh. I'm looking a little further ahead thinking, is there somebody I can get for James Conner or a pick and a player? But definitely I'm cashing that cash cow because he's at like just prime value right now.
I agree. If you could turn around and flip him for a starting wide receiver or say like an RB2 and a wide receiver or something like that, that's different. But a lot of the stuff that we've been seeing, especially a lot of the comments we've been getting on Twitter, they're trading him for picks. And to me, I don't want to do picks, especially in week two.
Yeah, well, I don't want to do picks. The thing about it is you trade him for picks after you ride him to your fantasy championship.
That's what I was trying to optimize
the whole thing.
Exactly.
It's very early in the season to be trading him for picks, and I think he's in a good spot there long term.
I think so as well.
I don't know that he's special. He's obviously not Le'Veon Bell special. There's probably been a handful of running backs in their careers that have been as special as Le'Veon, but behind that line and whoever's calling the plays now, whether it's Ben or whoever, I don't know, he's going to be in a situation where he's built for success. Basically, they use their running back one probably more than anyone else. I mean,
that offensive line is incredible for making running backs. Could you imagine David Johnson struggling there in Arizona right now? There's lots of issues. you know, new coach, new quarterback, just everything's goofy. It's off of what it used to be. And Johnson's struggling too. Could you imagine him in this offense in Pittsburgh? Like, it'd be Le'Veon Bell Jr.
You run the risk though of holding on to Connor that Tevin Coleman shows up there next year and then James Connor fades away in the obscurity.
Listen, I agree maybe with Jeremy about doing it later. I'm just saying now in week two, I'd rather get the points. Yeah. And what is funny
not
is
a wrong answer, man.
Yeah,
and strategy too.
My friend Dynasty Greg, you know, I mention him a lot. He's the biggest Steelers fan. And he even said the other day, he's like, well, look at what D'Angelo Williams did when he stepped up for Bell that one season. I mean, that guy was so late in his career. And he was like the number one.
It was a couple years, wasn't it?
Yeah, but he.
A couple years.
And he did great.
It was a whole season of being awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Even at the age he was and everything like that. So in this situation with this team, the running back position, they get you points. And right now it's so difficult to get running backs that are going to get you points. I mean, I'm not sure right now without pulling it up, but I saw something earlier today that was saying that Matt Breida right now is the number one running back in NFL after 2 weeks.
Well, that's probably wrong.
But well,
we could look it up.
I'm just saying that I saw somebody say that today. And it's just funny because
people also say that the earth is flat. So
not too many people still say that, but you're right. Some people say it.
There's a large amount of the population. I don't think you realize how stupid most people are.
Oh, my God. You're right. There are some people out there that do believe that. But my point is, especially with the running back position, Jeremy, you shook your head earlier when we talked about in the offseason, grab these number two and number three guys on these teams because they're going to eventually play. We thought maybe it'd be week 7, 8, something like that, but we're in week two.
Matt Breida is the RB12 in fantasy points per game, scoring 15 points per game. But you have to keep in mind that part of that is the fact that he went absolutely apeshit last week and dropped 24 points.
It is crazy.
Right.
It,
yeah, I mean,
it's
James
really
Conner
crazy.
Is right up at the top right now. You know, Alvin Kamara, Alvin Gordon, Todd Gurley. He's like right up there in the top five. Chris Thompson Conner are in the top five PPR points.
I got stats on James Conner. So he was the RB2 in week one when he touched the ball something like 35 times. He was the RB10 last week on 13 touches. That's pretty good.
Three touchdowns already, man.
Yeah, he scored a touchdown last week, which definitely helped. But it was a very bad game script for him, you know, because the Steelers decided that they were going to throw the ball because they were down early, right? They were down 21-0
yeah,
or something. Yeah. And then they tied it and then they went down big again. So Connors didn't get a lot of touches and he still dropped an RB10 week on you.
There's been some very strange games this year. I mean, even like you mentioned Todd Gurley this weekend. I mean, they were already up 27-0 at halftime, you know, so they even switched the game to another game at halftime, you know, and then they pulled back some of the players. So some of these guys are definitely game flow of whether they're going to get you the points, even though Todd Gurley still got the points. You know?
Yeah, I got burned like a MF-er on that because I went ahead and picked up Jalen Richard wherever I couldn't get Philip Lindsay this week.
I did too.
I figured the Raiders would be in a negative game script and nope.
You know, it's funny. In my home league, I grabbed Jalen with like a lot of my fab money. But you know what? Before we go this stick and flip, let's have another word from our sponsor before we do that. And then we'll go to your new segment, okay?
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for a limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com.
All Thanks, Jasenia. Scout Academy is awesome. I do believe their fall registration's passed. So if people didn't take advantage of that $50 discount they got from DFF, they're going to have to wait until their winter classes, which is unfortunate, but you know, it's still worth it from everyone I've spoken to. Just being on their mailing list, to be honest with you, I feel like you get some value. I'm not smart enough to use it, but you know.
I want to see you attend this, Shane, because I'd be happy if you could scout like an amateur. I mean, I'm just kidding.
Can you imagine? Let's send Shane to the academy next offseason. And just,
I don't know. They might have like a limit of how many times you can attend, like Shane, for your seventh course in a row. Like,
Shane, I went to the scouting academy. Now I truly am everything to everyone. Look at me. Look at me.
That would be awesome. So back to your stick it or flip.
Screwed up. Okay, first of all.
First of all, I didn't screw anything up. So go ahead.
Don't talk about it like that. It's stick or flip.
I did say stick or flip.
You got to say stick or flip.
Stick or flip. Go ahead.
And you know, we just briefly mentioned him before. Philip Lindsay. What are you doing with him?
Hey, man, in fantasy football, you want that guy. But I guess the bigger question for me, Shane, is you're a Royce Freeman big-time fan. You got him at a value as much as you could, especially early in drafts. The later drafts, it was harder. But you were big. You were high on him. That was one of your guys. I like him, too, as a lead back in Denver. So the big question is, are you using this as an opportunity to cash in on maybe getting Royce Freeman a little lower than you could have before because of the Lindsay hype? Or are you truly worried that Lindsay's going to always and continually cut into Royce Freeman?
Yeah, so it's kind of both. I was trying to get Royce Freeman at a discount after the first week. Like, oh, guys, he's look, this undrafted free agent's completely taken. But I'm a little worried more in the fact that they are not throwing the ball at all to Freeman. He's gotten one target. One target.
Yep.
Now, and it's not like Lindsay has a ton. You know what I mean? He has three receptions. And I didn't write down how many targets he has, but I'm going to guess more than three since he has three receptions. But it's not like they're targeting either of them a ton. So that's a little worrisome, the fact that they're basically even in carries. Actually, Lindsay's out-touched him. He's got 29 rushing attempts to Freeman's
23,
which is a little concerning. But again, I believe in Royce Freeman's talent. And at some point, it's going to take over. Not that I don't think Lindsay is a talented player. He is,
in his own
right. And I definitely am trying to buy him everywhere I can, unsuccessfully again, because he's one of those players where he's almost more valuable on your roster than trading him for a pick right now. And I don't, you know, player wise, it's kind of hard to gauge what to send for him. I've tried a few different things. None of them have worked.
Did you happen to hear the interview with the head coach about him this week?
Who's that? Anthony Lynn?
Well, what he was saying about Lindsay was he was saying that he's a hometown kid and that they've been watching him for like 3 years and they were looking for him. But he didn't show up to the combine. There was a couple other things that he didn't do. So they ended up working out a deal with him after the fact. And,
he's an undrafted free agent.
Right. And they're very, very happy with him on that team. And they're very...
Well, no shit. They should be.
Well, I know. But what's funny is it goes... You know, we all sit here and we look at the combine. We look at all the reports. We do all this kind of stuff. And then a team like them, they were sitting back waiting for him not to get drafted. And then they signed him and they're thrilled with him. And even if they've spent a high draft pick on, like you say, Freeman, if Lindsay's doing better, they don't care. They've got him in their stable.
And Freeman is going to be fine. I mean, he had the rushing touchdown. There's no doubt you want Lindsay in fantasy. You want him on your team. But it doesn't sour me at all about Royce Freeman, who's still only 22 years old, who's still basically the lead running back there. And honestly, it's not like he's been bad. It's just that Lindsay's been so good. I mean, I'm happy with Royce Freeman so far as a rookie, two games in, one rushing touchdown. There's nothing inordinate about it. But you wonder if Lindsay gets so many touches, is Freeman going to be able to sustain? My thing is that 5 foot, you know, 5 foot 7, 180-pound Lindsay is not going to sustain this over the whole course of a season. 20, you know, 10, 15 touches a game necessarily. Whereas Royce Freeman, 6 foot, 225, whatever, he's huge. That guy is your quote unquote bell cow all game long, all season long. He's already done it. I'm not worried about Freeman, but yeah, I'd love to have some Lindsay for sure. I don't have any of them. Maybe one spot. I think I have him.
Well, we
a couple of things. The head coach of the Broncos is actually Vance Joseph, so I'll go ahead and correct myself.
Well, who did you say?
Anthony Lynn. That's the coach of the Chargers. JB brings up a good point. The dude's 5'7", 184 pounds. Dude, the NFL playing every week, it takes a toll on you. He's not built for this. He's not built. And yes, he might have gotten a lot of carries in college, but he's not built to carry the load. Now, 11 carries a game isn't the load, so maybe he could do that. But maybe what the Broncos need later in the season is a guy that can carry the ball another 20 times, and that's where Freeman's definitely going to pull away from him, because Freeman is built like a brick shithouse.
He is, and over the course of the season, Shane, I think the numbers that they have now, that seems like Lindsay's this much better because his – what, 8 yards per touch or whatever it is, and the points he's getting, it's going to probably get a little closer. And it's the same. I mean, some players and teams start hot. Jordan Howard hasn't been the hottest running back so far this season with that new offense. Am I worried? Not yet. I mean, I still want Jordan Howard to plug him in as one of, you know, a running back one. I think he can finish there. So it's a little early to get super excited. And that's why I'm saying some of these guys you got to cash out of, you know.
So what you should, and real quick, Mike, before you try to cut me off, I'm gonna
it's fine
make fun of one of your points and then add another in my so
I'm gonna interrupt one of your points
and then I'll wrap it all up, so go ahead.
If the Broncos were really that high on him, they would have drafted him, because once you're an undrafted free agent, you can sign with whoever offers you the most money, and we're not talking about, you know, big contracts here. We're talking about where the difference of $10,000 is where you'll sign, you know, for these kids, because they're undrafted. $10,000 might as well be $1 million for them. My second point, I completely forget. So
well, you could tell that the way you were talking that you didn't have another point.
I did have another point. I just completely forgot it.
Well, what I was going to say then, you know what's really funny is I forgot what I was going to say too.
So we got one more player.
Wait. Before we go on to the last player of Tyler Boyd, yes. So what we're saying here... Shane didn't like that I said
build suspense, jerk off. You're supposed to build suspense. You're not supposed to tell them. People are supposed to be waiting on the edge of the seat, like, oh, I wonder who the next player is, not randomly shouted out.
Okay, listen, the people that are listening to our show love the way that it's just all over the freaking place. They don't care that it's on the edge of their seat. So what are you guys saying? Are you going to flip him, stick him with Lindsay?
That's what I was going to say.
So, that's the whole point of this segment.
What I was going to say. You should be following the process, not the results. What? I don't understand why that's funny. But
because are you going to stick them or flip them?
So the process should always be an undrafted free agent. You are going to trade. You are going to cash out at their highest value, or when you think they might be near their peak value, which would be right
when
now.
Or when you think you can get a return that satisfies you, like, you know, to get back for your team. Yeah,
exactly. So
Freeman isn't going anywhere. That dude is the bomb. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm
going to flip him.
Okay. So, Shane, you say I ruined the suspense, but the last player you would like to talk about is?
Tyler Boyd.
You said it. I'm so excited to talk about Tyler Boyd.
So go ahead. The floor is all yours.
He's super excited. You can tell. It's like Christmas over there.
Well, I own Tyler Boyd in
I love this show.
Six leagues, which was a little bit of a shock to me. And,
really?
Yeah, I don't really know how, but I guess it was that whole, well, he's only been in the league a couple of years, and he still has that high draft capital. He was a second round draft pick. But so I was looking on Player Profile the other night, and you know, I heard it mentioned that Tyler Boyd is playing more out of the slot this year. And so far he's actually run 83% of his routes out of the slot compared to 30% last year. And immediately, you know who sprung to mind as a third year breakout wide receiver that did that?
Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah, Nelson Aguilar.
I love him, man. Yeah. I love him.
Some guys are just built for, you know, specific roles at the NFL level. Like, you put Nelson in the slot and it was just magic. It immediately fit. Like, all those, you know, the first 2 years or whatever where he looked like hot trash almost disappeared. And it's almost deja vu all over again with Tyler Boyd. So,
and what year is he? We preach that all the time. What year is he? What year is this for him as a pro?
I believe it's his third.
Boom, bingo.
For years, that's what everybody always said. You know, the third year wide receivers; those are the guys you need to watch for.
I've heard
it
that
might happen earlier, but you just don't sell out of guys before. You don't sell out of them before the third year if it was a guy you bought. You know, I mean, you got to give them a chance to develop. Look at Aguilar. I mean, all these guys. Some of them take off sooner, but you need to wait a little longer. You don't sell out of them the first, second year.
Right.
Not wide receivers.
So this is week two. So through two games, what's Tyler Boyd done so far, Shane?
So far, there's some numbers here. I was like going to look at waivers.
I don't know if he was trying to send out a trade or if he was looking at numbers, but go ahead.
I was actually sending out a trade offer.
That's what I thought.
Jake Anderson. So through two games, he already has reached 43% of his targets from last year. He's got 14 targets through two games. He had 32 last year. So part of it might be just, you know, that he's better and Andy Dalton trusts him more, obviously, because he's throwing to him more often. But part of that might have to do with the fact that John Ross is actually healthy too. And he's clearing out, you know, underneath routes and things like that. And you can't, you know, there's got to be a safety over the top. I haven't watched a lot of the defenses against Cincinnati, but I got to believe that a healthy John Ross and a healthy AJ Green is going to leave me as Tyler Boyd. I'm Tyler Boyd in this scenario.
Yeah.
It would leave me, you know, on a lot of one-on-one coverage, and you know, he's a good route runner. Physically, I'm going to have to look him up right now because I don't know that he's not actually a very good athlete, but he is a good route runner. He was very good. You know, he's a decent producer in college. I just think, you know, it's finally coming together for him. And like I said, it's very helpful that he's got a healthy AJ Green. He's got a healthy John Ross there as well.
But he has an injured Joe Mixon. So how is he that going to affect it?
But then he has a healthy Gio Bernard who every time. He's not Joe Mixon. He's not. I love Gio Bernard, but he's a very good running back, and he's going to be a reasonable facsimile of Joe Mixon.
So, but my point was, does that hurt or help Tyler Boyd is all I was trying to say.
I don't think it changes much, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I think you just slide Gio right in there as if Joe Mixon, like I said, he's not as good running between the tackles is Joe Mixon, but he's just as good of a receiver, maybe a little bit less. I don't know who's a better receiver. They're both very good receivers.
Jeremy, do you agree? Are you going out there to get Tyler Boyd or are you going to flip him?
No, I have him a couple spots. I'm probably not going to go after him. I liked getting him in startups at, you know, a value. But no, I'm not going after him. One thing I think back on is earlier when you guys were talking about what you would part with to get Josh Gordon. And I think what you guys were saying, you would trade away to get Josh Gordon. I would trade away for Quincy Enunwa.
Yes.
Who I have in like 35% of my leagues at 40% of my leagues. That's a guy. Hell, I'd trade Josh Gordon for Quincy Enunwa. No problem.
Absolutely.
I mean, and then another guy I'd go after is Carlos Hyde. The Browns' rushing offense has been crap, total crap, but elusive rating, you know, and yards beyond, you know, contact. Carlos Hyde has looked really good. He just the line is just not making a lot of room for these running backs. But Hyde as a running back too right now, that's a value because nobody gives a shit about Hyde. I mean, I got him in a lot of startups like the Scott Fishbowl, different places. I got him for cheap, and well, I think he's definitely a value for me to go after. So wide receiver, Enunwa, Hyde. And there's so many guys out there. Why do I own so much Ameer Abdullah? God, that's just disappointing.
I want to say I agree with you about Enunwa. First of all, with Gordon, I didn't say to get him. I wouldn't want him. But I was saying, look,
I'm not actively shopping for him. I'm just saying I could see myself giving up a first for him.
Yeah.
Like again, I would have to almost know that barring a catastrophe or plane crash, that pick would be around 110, 111, 112 or later.
A plane crash. Okay. So with Quincy, I actually got Quincy in a lot of places this offseason because nobody cared about him. I mean, I was getting him basically for free. I know, Jeremy, you and I got him in the league where we're co-owners of a team, you know? And
About people just sleeping on a guy, like just oblivious to the fact that the Jets need somebody to throw the ball to.
Yeah, and listen, through 2 weeks right now, he has 21 freaking targets. He has 155 yards receiving in 2 weeks, you know?
I think the issue with Anunoba was, one, the neck injury. People were scared about that. I don't think anyone foresaw Sam Darnold taking over as the starting quarterback in week one. Like, I didn't see that.
I don't know that it matters, though, 20 years with a guy like Anunoba.
It does.
Field so much at tight end.
It does, because Darnold...
they don't have a tight end there. I'm just saying it's better that Darnold's there, but I want him regardless of who the quarterback for the Jets.
If Josh McCown was playing, though, he takes more shots. Robbie Anderson would see a lot more targets. I think Anunoba would still be doing well. I just think that the distribution would be a little more balanced, but it really doesn't matter because Josh McCown's not out there, so Robbie Anderson's ass right now.
And Quincy Anunoba was just a superior player altogether. He can do everything, play from any position, and he's the most closest, the closest comp the Jets have to Josh Gordon. So he's your true wide receiver one on paper in real life with talent. So Robbie Anderson, I love him, and he might get those deep shots, but he's no Quincy Anunoba. He's not even close.
He's a completely different wide receiver, and he has a quarterback that just, you know, he's not pulling the trigger deep. Now, it's also early, so at some point, you know, Darnold might decide he's, you know, as he gets more comfortable that, we're going to start.
A lot of things can happen.
Before we go on to the last segment, which we have a couple trade alerts and one really, really, really funny situation that happened with Shane accepting a trade, but we want to play this interview that we did with Jessenia, and you've already heard her through the promos that we've been doing on the show and all the other shows here on the network, and we interviewed her on I interviewed her because Shane had drank too much the night before, and he was just like, go ahead and do the interview without me at like 6:30 at night on Friday. So I interviewed her. So here's the interview, and she's great, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Okay, we're here in Vegas at the FFPC, and right now we're here with our guest, Jessenia Weiss. She's the official spokesperson for DynastyFootballFactory.com. Welcome, Jessenia.
Thank you for having me here. Wow, I have not heard Jessenia Weiss in a long, long, long time. That used to be my former alias, and I actually changed everything.
Okay.
Like, they don't know why I dropped it. Like, I dropped it because I outgrew it, not because it was anything bad. It's just I outgrew it, and I decided my whole name is way too long and complicated, Jessenia Catherine Gallegos, so I just... On Instagram and on everything else, it's just I am Jessenia. But Vice was a very big part of who I am and my entity. I mean, I had over millions and millions of followers because of it during my music video Vixen days, during my Glamour magazine days. And now as growing into who I am, you're talking about this was 8 years ago. It did what it needed to do, and now I'm here where I am today, where I'm just Jessenia, I'm just Jessie, and I just love that my audience gets to know a little bit about my past and also see how much growth I've overcome with personal stuff in my life and also in this industry, in this career. So it's cool.
So actually, and it's good that we
it's
said
good.
It that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, it's good.
Like you said, even yesterday when we spoke, we were speaking at the FFPC, and you were telling me your story about mm-hmm. what you've gone through and how you've come through all that and now the things that you're doing. For the people that don't know right now, you are the official spokesperson for our website.
Yes.
So what you're doing for all of the podcasts, mm-hmm. you'll be doing all the reads, all the
voiceovers,
the voiceover ads, the introductions,
the commercials.
You also did a bunch of stuff with video too on the site too, right? So why don't you tell everybody about that?
It was a lot of fun. So first I want to thank a good friend of mine, Jason Waltner, who I'm sure everyone that tunes into this also knows on Capology 101.
Correct.
We know each other from far back in college, and it's ironic because back then I was going to school for nursing, and it's ironic that now I'm doing stuff here with media broadcasting and radio, right? So doing stuff in front of the camera, it's something that I never thought I'd be doing, but ironically, over the course of the last 4 or 5 years, I've been blessed to do. And I take it with, you know, so serious, and I love it, and I love challenging myself, and I love asking all these questions and doing things and creating a large resume. So to be able to be, you know, one of the boys and still be able to do something with it, like standing from the camera and promote fantasy football, it's cool because now I feel like I'm still one of the boys, you know, and everybody here has welcomed me with open arms, and I feel like a little sister, you know, really well taken care of. And it's such a great community because, again, even me being out here in Vegas for the first time and meeting people from all walks around the world who are here for the same purpose was really nice. And I went to an all-girls school, so I felt like that brotherly love. And like I said, I feel like I'm one of the boys. So to be a part of this, and my brothers think it's cool, all my guy friends think it's cool, my male following thinks it's awesome. So to me, it's great. It's a learning experience. It's also something that I'm having a whole lot of fun with and bringing in my personality just to add to it. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. It is funny when you say having a lot of fun. There's a lot of people out here. Obviously, for the people that are listening right now, you could tell that it's only me here speaking to you. because Shane, everybody went out last night and
they're hungover.
Yeah, it's 6:15 at night on Friday, and Shane's actually still in bed. So
it's East Coast time for us still. It is.
Well, yeah, it's East Coast time for me
nine,
too.
It's
yeah.
nine. And we're, you know, we're here though. We showed up.
Well, it was funny because I was talking to Shane. Shane's like, just tell everybody I'm still in bed. So I said, okay, I'll tell everybody. So, and it's been a lot of fun. I know we're going to still be doing a bunch of stuff tomorrow, but you're not going to be here, correct? You're leaving tonight.
Yeah, I'm leaving tonight. I actually came out during my birthday week, and I've always been one of those people that work comes first. Mm-hmm. So it was fun to be able to celebrate my birthday out here for Vegas, and even fun to be able to meet everybody that's part of, you know, Dynasty Football Factory. So Shane, I wish I was there getting drunk with you last night, but I was actually in bed super early. It was like midnight, but I did have my fun. And to be honest with you, I know that there's going to be more trips and occasions, so it's cool. And I'm sure your audience and my audience, we're all going to learn much more from one another. And to be here right now, just to get to know you guys, and also for your audience to get to know me, it's great because this is an introduction, and I see myself being a part of this for a while and hopefully be able to create some more magic with you all, and maybe behind the scenes producing, because we spoke about that,
right?
That being in front of the camera is always fun, but as I get older and as my creative juices flow, I want to be able to see my visions come to light. And as a creator, that's probably the best thing to see, you know?
Well, yeah. Like you said, we spoke about it yesterday. One of the reasons I wanted to have you on is the fact that everybody that's going to be going to the site, especially everybody that listens to the shows, all the shows are going to be having the drop-in commercials and everything with your voice. Mm-hmm. So what I thought was it would be good to get you out here and let them decide whether they
like me.
Well, what I was going to say was let our listeners get to know you just a little bit more, because they're going to hear your voice and they're going to want to know who you are.
I appreciate that.
And we talked last night. You said a couple different things about what you've been through, what you've conquered, and what you're doing now. Yeah. So I just wanted to get you out there to say.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right. Back in 2010, I went viral all over a big platform. It was the Tyra Banks talk show. I won Kim Kardashian lookalike contest that they were having. Both Kim and Tyra thought I resembled her, and it opened up a Pandora's box. From that point forth, I was on billboards, on covers of magazines, I was on TV, I did a lot of stuff, and it was amazing. And the millions of followers and audience came through that naturally because the exposure was so big, right? And Kim Kardashian still to this day is an it person, but back then she was that it woman. And of course it was a major compliment. I still to this day don't think I look like anything like the woman.
I don't either, actually.
Kim Kardashian doesn't even look like Kim Kardashian anymore. So but it was still something really cool. And unfortunately, I was in a relationship that at the time felt like they were supportive, but when things blew up, it, you know, everyone, you know, the claws come out, the fangs come out, and he turned out to be somebody that was very toxic, very controlling, very manipulative. And I feel like domestic violence isn't a woman male thing. It's anyone could suffer from and be victimized of abuse. And as a survivor, I like to put that in the upfront of what it is I do, so that I can not only just be a voice for something like this, which is Dynasty Football Factory, but also be a voice for men, women, children that suffer from domestic violence and the trauma that comes from that. Like, not only did I lose my followers, which that's fine, I almost lost my life, you know, I lost money, I lost friends, and to be alive, to be able to speak about it and shed light to it, not only helps me heal every time I talk about it and feel more empowered, but to know that I can maybe touch somebody and help them, whoever's going through something right now, male, female, to be like, you know what, it could happen to anyone, but you can be here where I'm at today,
right?
You know, and all you need to do is break that cycle, get the help that you need, and believe in yourself in the end. To be at such a grand level and then start again over at zero was very, it was hard. It was demoralizing, you know? But I think that now with the following that I've gained throughout the last 3-4 years, because it's been over 8 years now since I was a victim of domestic violence, the audience that I've gained now and the diehard following that I have to this day, I think it's all because they follow me because I'm Jessie, not right. because I was on the Tyra Banks show and I won Kim Kardashian's lookalike contest. But back then, maybe that wasn't supposed to be my avenue, my direction. And now I'm living my life with a greater purpose and having fun while at it, you know?
Well, yeah, you had even mentioned about how you lost everything, all the followers on all the social medias, mm-hmm. and you've built it back to where it is now. Mm-hmm. Your personality comes out, and yeah. the way you present yourself and the way you talk and the way people get drawn into hearing you, you'll get to do other things. I know you were telling me yesterday some of the things you want to do now. Yeah. Get away from what it was before yeah. and what you want to do now.
Yeah, before, you know, it's even a fun fact for those that are listening. Like, again, I was going to school for nursing, and growing up, you know, I was this heavy girl. I was the tomboy. I was close to 300 pounds. All my hot friends were my friends because I was funny, I was cute, I was quirky. And all the guy friends that I had were interested in dating my girlfriends. So it's really weird and almost ironic that I'm where I'm at today, having lost all that weight, getting all this attention. But I'm still that person. I'm still that bubbly person that you can talk to, have a conversation with, have fun. And again, I'm still one of the boys. And I know it's kind of weird, you know, hearing me and then seeing me, people always assume something different. When they see me, they think that I'm a bitch and I'm clueless. But then when they hear me, they're probably like, she's probably cute, but she's probably not hot, you know? And then they hear the voice and they see the person, they trip out. And then they see the person and they hear the personality and it trips them out even more. So I like being that fun factor that you can be funny, you can be hot, you can be curvy, you can be all these things and be smart. And at the end of the day, I feel that there's more women that are showing stuff like that, like Eva Longoria, Sofia Vergara, Salma Hayek. They're women that, as a Latina, I'm super proud of, because they started out as quote-unquote vixens, but look at what they're doing now. And ironically, I'm doing stuff similar, not in the TV movie world, which I would like to get back to, because back in the day, I was building a very strong resume and TV resume and presence. But everyone that I knew back then are now doing music, which is why this is why it's ironic, because I actually just finished executively producing a record and A&Ring it, and I never thought I would do that, but I did say one day that I want to produce something and help create something and come to life, and I was able to do that with an artist. His name is Jamie Wilson, and it's called Everything Is New, and I'm also in the song. My vocals are in there. I'm going to keep this very brief because this interview is about me. But
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because that is what you were talking about. But it's also why you're leaving. Yeah. It's why you're leaving tonight, too, why you can't be here tomorrow.
The reason why I'm not here, guys, is because I have to get things done. I have to be in New York tomorrow during Marco Marco's Fashion Week, during New York Fashion Week, which is an event you want to be at. And we are going to be debuting Everything Is New. And it's a duet of Jamie with himself his transition and post. Now, for all those that don't know, Jamie Wilson was born a woman and transitioned into a man. So he's a transgender man. And it has never been done before. You know, it's never been thought of. And even the artists now that would like to do that haven't done it, because when you do transition from women to male, or even male to female, you lose a lot of your vocal ability because your voice is changing. Obviously, if you were a female and you sounded lovely, you go through that pubescent type of stage. Anybody does.
Sure.
But as an adult, it's dealing with it in a different way, and some people get discouraged. But very long story short, it's a gorgeous song. I can't wait to produce and direct the music video. We already went through the treatment. It's going to be a mini movie, but I'm going to be in New York tomorrow. I'm going to literally, after this interview, grab some ice cream and I'm going to jump on a plane and I'm going to probably sleep for 3-4 hours, and I'm going to kick ass tomorrow and make sure everything that needs to get done gets done. So make sure to download Everything Is New. You'll hear my vocal abilities too, because Jamie, even though he duetted with himself as a woman, there were certain things that 4 years ago,
right.
He didn't get to capture, like harmonizing, and also a few little oohs and ahs that needed to be plugged in. Ironically, him and I match a lot in when as a singer, as a vocalist, I sound similar to him when he was a girl.
Well, so, was it his idea? Like when he sang it back then, was that his plan?
That was
plan?
Not his intention.
No, it wasn't. That's what I was wondering.
4 years ago when he made this record, it was a love story. Uh-huh. And when I heard this record and I met him 4 years later, I was like, dude, do you realize that these lyrics, if you were to sing them, it would be like you talking to your future self and your present self talking to your past. And when I mentioned this to the producers and everybody else that got involved with this, Jerry Robinson, who's worked on different soundtracks for SpongeBob and Pitch Perfect, and his resume is super large, it blew everybody's minds. And it was like, I hear the same thing too.
Yeah.
And we were like, we need to make sure that this happens and gets executedly perfectly. And it has. And it's amazing. Everything from the art cover, which I want to shout out to Crown. He has worked on different album covers from people from Eminem to DMX and Big Pun and more. And he was able to work on the graphic arts for Jamie Wilson. And I'm pulling a lot of people out of my Rolodex to make sure that this happens perfectly. And like, again, I'm proud to be a part of it and seeing it, you know, it's like you have a baby and you see it, you know, being delivered, and now it's like, okay, you're holding it by its hand and watching him or her walk for the first time. And it's going to be an amazing event, and like I said, it's going to be on iTunes, available to download tomorrow after he walks. And he's going to walk, and he's going to leave a huge stamp in the community to, like myself as a survivor, shed light in that you're not alone and you can follow and chase your dreams and to live in your happiest and live in your truth. And me, I'm living my happiest and I'm living in my truth. And that's the one thing I want anybody listening to this, is to feel that whatever your dreams are, it's never too hard to reach, especially nowadays with social media and the reach of the World Wide Web. You know, back then, these women and men that we look at Hollywood didn't have this. And now if we can use this tool properly, we can be heard and we can be, there's so many eyes and ears. So to do it strategically, all the while being authentic and have fun. I'm all about having fun. If you didn't get that, you gotta have fun, okay?
Well, even last night when you were explaining the whole thing to me, you could tell how passionate you are about it. I thought it was really interesting. And I think the way you just wrapped it up is a great way to wrap it up right now. With social media, there's so much out there. Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell everybody all the different places they can find you? Because obviously, even before we did the show, we found that there's some things out here that are not correct. And even saying the vice at the beginning of the show. So why don't you tell everybody where they can find you and what you're going to do, and we'll wrap everything
up here. So you can find me on Instagram. That's my primarily like source of vehicle to showcase my life and my projects. It's I am Jessenia, Jessenia, and you can type that in on just about everything, and you'll find it. However, I found out today that if you go on on Twitter and you type in Jessenia Vice, you're going to see a really weird page of some porn star that's not me, because I have a bigger butt and I'm obviously a lot tanner and she has absolutely no ink. But
and it's from 2013, so it's not real, so don't believe it.
I do have a Twitter account. It's I am Jessenia with an underscore at the end. And my Facebook and everything else, it's I am Jessenia. So if you don't know if it's me for sure, make sure to check for the blue check mark, because that'll be me. And we're working on getting my Twitter verified anyway as well, so that people that remember me from the past in 2010 and they wonder where I've gone. I mean, I was gone. I was gone for almost 4 years. So now I'm back and I'm having fun. And I'm super grateful to be a part of, you know, Dynasty Football Factory and to be here to get to know your audience and get to know me. I hope you like me. I mean, I don't think I'm a bad person.
No, I don't get that at all. And I do think everybody's going to love you, especially after hearing you talk and tell your story.
Thank you.
We're very happy to have you here. And thank you for doing all the stuff that you are doing for us. And,
thank you. I'm a free agent. So if anybody that's listening, I'm looking for an agent. Plug that in there.
That's right. That was a totally other thing we talked about last night as well. So yes, if there's any agents out there, she is looking for an agent. But thank you so much. And I look forward to playing your reads in our show so that we don't have to read them anymore.
Awesome.
So.
Awesome. Put me to work. I'm super happy. Thank you for having me here.
Well, thank you. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Well, yeah, even though I didn't get to interview Jessenia because of technical difficulties.
Yeah, technical difficulties, sure.
No, it was still nice hanging out with her there. She was with us the whole time at the FFPC. She's a cool chick.
She was a lot of fun, yeah, especially during that viewing party. She was great. And I'm really happy that she's going to be here doing a lot of stuff for us, especially in the future. So
Trade alert.
Oh, here we got a trade alert. Right.
So go ahead.
What's
hashtag?
The trade alert?
Yeah. There's a new hashtag. It's called hashtag accidental trash trade accepted.
Yeah, exactly. Accidental.
AKA hashtag. Ready?
Trash dynasty trades. Oops. Ready?
Wait, go ahead. What is it?
Hashtag. Holy f***, I didn't mean to hit accept.
Wait a second. That hashtag is going to get bleeped. So do we have a cleaner hashtag than that?
Oh, yeah. I'll clean it up. Ready?
Yeah.
Hashtag. Holy f***. I didn't mean to hit accept.
No, that's not cleaner. Do a clean one.
No. That's exact thought that ran through my head.
Okay, guys, listen. This is what happened. Shane did something in our listener league that, yes, the listeners already know, but this is f***ing, oh, and I said it too, but this is f***ing hilarious. So, Shane, go ahead. What happened?
I'm trying to cash out on Pat Mahomes, and this is before the 6-touchdown game, so God knows what I could get now. But even at this point, this is ridiculous.
You sold Mahomes?
No. I was trying to cash out on him. I was trying to, drop a tier at a quarterback and maybe pick up a Tevin Coleman or something like that. One of those types of trades where I pick up a little lower. I lose 3 points at the quarterback position every week, but I gain a starting running back. And I'll give our listeners credit in the listener league. None of them went for it. But one of the guys, he offers me this garbage, Ryan Tannehill, LeSean McCoy, and Jalen Richard. For Pat Mahomes, just for Pat Mahomes, that's not enough. Then he added Kerryon Johnson to it. So he offered me Ryan Tannehill, LeSean McCoy, and Jalen Richard for Pat Mahomes and Kerryon Johnson.
That's crazy.
So, as you know, you get the MFL alerts and you have accept, reject, and counter proposal, I think, in your email. So I fat fingered it trying to hit reject. Because I looked at it with disdain, and I said, I want this to fuck off my screen immediately.
Yeah, I've done that before, man.
And so everything happened in slow motion then. Like, when people talk about, like, they have life-changing moments, or they've been in a life scary moment, and it's just like everything's moving in slow motion.
That's it for you, huh?
That's what happened to me. So I saw my thumb go down. I saw it miss the reject button. But it got the bottom of the accept button. So I screamed out at work, no. Immediately, I DM'd everyone in the league saying, I didn't mean to do that. That was an accident. All this is happening before the email has even confirmed that it's went through. And then I immediately started emailing saying, dude, I think I emailed the whole league. I said, yes. I did not mean to accept that. I meant to reject it. That was a fat finger. That trade sucked. You're an awful person. Please reduce that trade.
Listen. First of all, let me just say one disclaimer really quick. I'm the commissioner of all. I don't even know how many leagues I am. And I've told a lot of people a lot of times, when you get a trade offer and you're looking at it in your email, don't even touch the email. Don't, because that's the only place in MFL that does not have a double accept. So if fat finger it, like you say, or whatever, if you hit that button, you're going to accept it. No questions asked, And
yeah,
I think
if you're playing leagues with a bunch of sharks, you've just messed up. They're not going to let you renege on that trade.
No, it's a good dude that he was. After about me sweating what felt like about 3.5 hours, but it was probably more like 2 minutes. I offered it back to him and he accepted. And then we all made fun of me for a good hour. So that was fun. But shout out to Manolo. He immediately accepted when I sent it back to him, and everyone thought it was funny. But, there are some leagues that you play in, guys, that they'll just be complete douchebags about it. Like, oh, well, how did you accidentally hit accept? Like, they want like a fucking forensic report. But Manolo is just like, hey, you know what I mean? Like, he just thought it was funny. But yeah, definitely. I've been in leagues with dudes where they're like, well, I'm going to need a sworn affidavit indicating that you didn't mean to really hit accept. Well, Manolo didn't do any of that. He let me, take the trade back because, first of all, that was his trash trade offer.
Yeah.
So I was all excited because I was going to make fun of him. And then I screwed up and I accepted that trade, and a good dude, he, you know, Manolo went ahead and let me take the trade back.
Yeah. And I want to say one thing that, like I said before, about having a lot of leagues where I'm the commissioner, that's the kind of situation where a commissioner would have to step in and make a judgment call. And the fact that I know the way those emails work, and the fact that you immediately, I mean, like the instant you accidentally hit it, you sent out a message to everybody saying, no, that was a mistake. It would have to be a judgment call by the commissioner if Manolo would not have accepted that with you. So there's a lot of different ways to go about that, where I would either say, you two guys need to work it out, or if you guys couldn't work it out, it would be a commissioner thing where they'd say, look, it's obvious that he made a mistake. The offer is just totally one-sided, that there's no way Shane, no matter what we all say about Shane, there's no way Shane would have accepted that offer. And then we would have had to do something. But fortunately for you, like you say, Manolo went with it and everything was fine. So,
like physical violence, right?
Well, fortunately, I think Manolo lives like on another continent, doesn't he?
Yeah. In a country far, far away. Yeah.
All right, never mind. That would have been problematic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But wait,
before we wrap up the show.
Yes.
I just wanted to do one more thing. We did have a Patreon question.
Okay, great. Because we do have one more sponsor also to talk about. But let's do the Patreon question and then we'll do the sponsor.
Let's do the Patreon question.
This comes
from Gavin.
Yay,
good
Gavin.
Friend of the show. He's a good friend of the show.
He absolutely is. What's up,
and
Gavin?
This trade's actually a week old, but you know, we taped some content that we needed to get out there. So anyway, so hot topic, James Conner. He was offered Mike Williams and a 2019 first and a 16-team PPR Superflex.
Oh, that sounds like the listener league.
Oh, was it? Mike, did I make Williams that offer?
If it's a 16-team league PPR, that's the listener league. So wait, you sent him the
offer? It check, son of a bitch. No, I didn't make that offer.
Okay, so somebody else sent it to Gavin. So which side is Gavin?
He's the James Conner side. So he's looking to see, what do we think? What do we think? Is that enough for James Conner?
That league is so, so difficult. I mean,
now, mind you,
say the trade again.
James Conner.
Yeah, yeah.
For Mike Williams and a 2019 first, 16 team Superflex.
No, man, I'm keeping James Conner all day in that scenario. Mike Williams, who knows what Mike Williams is ever going to do? I don't like him anyways in that first. What if it's the 16th pick in the first round? James Conner's worth more than that? No? I don't know.
I agree. And what's funny is, even in that draft, even in the startup draft, I think, Shane, you walked away from that startup draft with all my picks next year, because I just kept I kept thinking that 16 teams, I don't want my picks next year. I'd rather have players this year, you know?
Yeah, Shane, though, you're tricky. You just traded a meaty sack worth of garbage.
Oh, you said meaty sack.
Unknown garbage for Stefon Diggs. He traded all this stuff that might become something, including Geis and future picks, for a wide receiver one. I mean, that's how you do it, baby. That's what you want.
I love that you said meaty
sack.
I'm in
so many
awesome
leagues that I have different strategies in every league. I just use every strategy, basically. I'm like, oh, this league, I'm using the productive struggle. Over here, it's zero RB. Over there, I'm going old. Here, I'm just going all rookie. It gets boring, you know. I can't use the same technique.
No, I'm the same.
Listen, Gavin, I want to say
people see you coming.
Yeah, and I want to say to you, Gavin, you know how difficult this league is that we put together. I mean, a lot of listener leagues are like really cookie cutter basic. We made like one of the most difficult leagues ever.
Yeah, are you guys glad I wanted to go with 16 teams? Are you glad I wanted to go with 16 teams?
Oh my God.
It's insane, man. These guys are nuts too. They're the perfect people for this league.
This has been so difficult. It's true. But Gavin, keep the play.
16 team Superflex. If you're going to play Superflex, do it in 16 teams, because quarterbacks really matter.
It is. It turned out to be way more difficult than we all thought it would be. But you're right, Jeremy. We have a great group of guys. They're all good. I tell Gavin, keep Jeremy Conner.
Or even James.
James Conner. You said Jeremy, so I said it. But I say keep James Conner. What do you think, Jeremy?
Yeah, absolutely. In this scenario, you definitely do, for sure.
So I'm going to say I don't want to agree with you guys, so I'll disagree, and I'll say give me Mike Williams, the soon to be wide receiver one on the what team is that? The Lightning Bolts there.
Chargers, and that's never gonna happen.
And the 2019 first.
Jeremy, I'll you know what's really funny? Based on the group chat in that listener league, I don't think Gavin's going to care what you and I have to say. I think the fact that Shane told him what to do, he's going to go with Shane. So speaking of that, let's go to our last plug here. And we have Jacinia with gtbets.eu.
Are you looking for some action on today's games? Then head over to gtbets.eu for all your sports betting needs. Get up-to-date odds covering all major sports. gtbets.eu is easy to use. Their simple registration process will have you placing your first bet in minutes. And if you register today, you can earn up to $500 of free money. Now that's a great reason to head over to gtbets.eu, an official sponsor of the Dynasty Football Factory. Simply add Dynasty Trades HQ in the referred by field to earn a 100% welcome bonus. GTBets.eu, it's game time.
So thanks, Jacinia. Did you do any bets this week on GTBets, Shane?
Yeah, I went 6-1-5 in the NFL. So it wasn't a good week. It was not a good week.
1-5? Did you really?
Yeah, it was a very bad week. Now the previous week I went, I think 5-0, and I actually won a teaser bet. So
did
I
you really?
Cocky. Yeah.
Awesome.
Got a little cocky. It was like, I'm going to throw out 6 bets and blah, blah, and it didn't go well for me. I think 1-5.
So get on over there to GT Bets and play some bets. I mean, it's so much better now that we're in the flow of the real NFL. So get over there, make some bets, put our name in there in the referred by field, and it'll be awesome. So let's wrap up today's show. I mean, we've had some great stuff. We talked about a lot of stuff. We interviewed Jacinia. We have a lot of things going on in the next couple of weeks. So everybody check out our website, dynastyfootballfactory.com.
Oh yeah, do that. Check out dynastyfootballfactory.com. Don't forget, it's football season, so we got waivers. We got every freaking type of waiver you could ever think of. We've got redraft waivers, dynasty waivers, IDP waivers. Guess what we're going to have next week, guys? College fantasy football waivers.
Woohoo!
Start next week.
That'll be awesome.
That's what I want to see.
And all of our podcasts, we have a whole bunch of different podcasts all in with their own little niche, and go check them all out. And also you'll hear Jacinia on all of them as well. And we want to thank everybody for listening. Thank everybody for going to the website. Give us a rate and review on iTunes. Check out our Patreon.
Yeah, please make sure you go rate and review, because if you don't, no one will find us and then we'll just wither away and die.
I don't think we're going to wither away and die, but yes, he's correct. Please go over there and give us a rate and review. And again, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Roger that. See ya.
Bye.
Awesome. Now that's cool.